The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. Mark chapter 6, we'll read the first 13 verses. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were surprised. Where did the man get all this? What's this wisdom he's been given? What about the powerful acts accomplished through him? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. And Jesus said to them, "Prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns, among their relatives, and in their own households." He was unable to do any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was appalled by their disbelief. Then Jesus traveled through the surrounding villages teaching. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick. No bread, no bags, no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals, but not to put on two shirts. He said, "Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. If a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They were ready as they were ever going to be. At least Jesus thought they were ready. The disciples had heard Jesus' parables. They had seen him move among the people with compassion. Had seen his power as he had healed the sick and raised the dead. The disciples had even seen Jesus face rejection. Jesus thought they were ready to give it a go on their own. Only then would they be truly part of the story, more than observers, more than students. They were ready to go forth, to take all they had seen and heard and let it guide them on their own voyage. Jesus thought they were ready, but I wonder how they might have felt. Were they confident? Did they feel prepared? Were they ready to speak up as well as sit and listen? Were they ready to offer the power of healing and wholeness to the suffering the way they'd seen Jesus do it? Or did they feel like they might need a little more time with the master, a little more time in the classroom before being sent out into the field, a few more lessons on the nuts and bolts of exorcism and healing the sick and raising the dead? Were they even expecting that? They had been called to follow Jesus, and they had left everything to do it. But was being sent forth part of the deal? Did they see this assignment coming? Ready or not, it was go time. They were being sent on a mission, sent with a purpose and a message. It had to be a little bit overwhelming, to be sure. What we have in the gospel reading today are a few last-minute words of preparation for the disciples who may or may not have felt quite ready to such a task. These words of preparation may be helpful not only to the disciples, but maybe to us too. Maybe we too thought the call to follow Jesus was a call to stand on the sidelines or sit in a pew and listen. Maybe we didn't realize we were going to be sent forth. Maybe we don't feel like we're quite ready for all that. Not yet. This pregame pep talk to the disciples begins with Jesus giving them authority and power to deal with evil oppression. Now, maybe the disciples are the kind of people who would focus on the glass half full part of that phrase. Maybe it was quite reassuring to know that they were being given authority and power. It might have been just what they wanted. After all, they seem to like to get caught up in discussions about who among them is the greatest, who would be given the seat of honor in the coming kingdom. Who among us isn't susceptible to the temptation of power and authority? Wouldn't it be nice to know that you had power and authority? To know that when you post something on Facebook, people are going to sit up and pay attention, take notice, to have what you say paid attention to. But is that the model that the disciples have been given by Jesus? The one giving them this authority taught that whoever wanted authority must become the servant. Not exactly the kind of power and authority they were looking for, maybe not the kind we're looking for, but it's the kind we're given when we are sent forth by our Lord. And what about the rest of the phrase? Authority and power to deal with evil oppression. Evil oppression? Are you kidding me? Not only is there a disclosure to the disciples that they're going to have opposition on their journey, but it's clear that the opposition is going to be evil. Whether you feel confident or not, that kind of thing gets your attention. Evil opposition. Like the disciples, we are probably inclined to respond with a not so excited and no thanks, not for me. Not oppression, not evil oppression. But that is the reality of being sent forth by our Lord, then and now. Jesus was not trying to scare anybody, but he did want those who are being sent forth to be prepared for what was sure to come if they went where he was sending them. He wanted them to be aware of the vulnerability of the voyage. Matthew's gospel goes even a little farther with that warning. Matthew's account includes Jesus telling the disciples that the evil oppression would hate them, bring them before councils, execute them. But hey, don't worry, you've got this. I don't know what the disciples might have done next, but having been around church work, I wouldn't be surprised if they had responded by forming a couple committees and scheduling some meetings. Have to talk about who's going to be paired up with whom, the itinerary, and then there's the budget. But to be able to talk about the budget, you have to know what you're going to need. What equipment are you going to need? Then somebody has to purchase everything. Who's been authorized on the charge card? Simon, have you filled out the tax exemption paperwork yet? Yada, yada, yada. Jesus, not wanting the disciples to get a bad precedent, offers them and us some clear advice. Advice made even more clear by Eugene Peterson's translation. Keep it simple. Pack lightly. Depend and build upon relationships. Roll with the rejection that is sure to come. You don't need a lot of equipment. You are the equipment. Oh, and remember, you've got this. Now, maybe it's just me, but this sounds even more frightening than the part about the evil oppression. Hasn't it always been easier for the church to write a check, to focus on the equipment rather than to be the equipment? More resources, more equipment will always be needed. But Jesus knew that what was really needed was people. People created for good works in Christ Jesus to go forth and to change the world, and to pray for the world. No amount of equipment will make up for us failing to be the equipment. You see, it takes people to build communities. It takes people to change the world. It takes people relating to one another to be a sign of hope that is needed in a world void of hope. In the face of evil oppression, it has always been the case. Timothy Snyder writes that during the purges in Eastern Europe or Nazi Germany, a greeting or a handshake meant a great deal. Such gestures made those who were vulnerable to violence of regimes feel safer. But when their neighbors averted their eyes when they met or crossed the street to avoid them, those same people felt more fearful. People who are isolated in society are much easier to harm than those who are held and seen and remembered in community. Making eye contact and exchanging greetings are practices by which we recognize each other's humanity and knit each other into a shared life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who knew a thing or two about facing evil oppression, wrote, "Fear crouches in people's hearts, hollows out their insides, and secretly gnaws and eats away at all the ties that bind a person to God and to others." But Jesus knew that. That is why he told those who were sent forth that they were the equipment. That's why Jesus told them to base their mission on relationships. It was relationships that would be the equipment that would give their message credibility. How might we function better, become more effective equipment? How do we build relationships that in turn build community and begin to change the world? Maybe by, like the disciples, going to places we have never been before and building relationships there. Perhaps we would gain a more authentic message if we refuse to resort to calling down fire to destroy those who disagree with us and resist expressing ourselves in the slogans and phrases that everybody else is using these days, even those with whom we agree, and cultivate fresh ways of saying what we mean and saying what others need to hear. Timothy Snyder goes on to say, "These are important acts because they keep us in dialogue with ourselves and with others, cultivating gestures of care in the midst of a community describes a life of faith, and it must define the character of our voyage, our walk in this world." Are we ready to go forth? Are we prepared to embark on a voyage that might be an uphill climb and into the winds of oppression? Are we willing to go where we have never been before? Will we have what it takes to build a kind of relationships that foster compassion and understanding in those places? Are we willing to become instruments, the equipment of transformation and change? And will we do it with joyous urgency? The disciples might well understand our hesitancies. They had to have had some of the same feelings when they were sent forth by Jesus. What would they tell us? What inspirational motivation might the disciples offer us? They might tell us that only in our going forth will we ever discover that we are ready. We are ready to become more than followers, to do more than listen to stories. Only by going forth will we ever become part of the story. Only by going forth will you discover that you've got this. Amen.